Well, good morning. How's everybody this morning?
Feeling good, Coach.
Well, some of you are here, some of you are there, some of you are everywhere. So we're so glad that you are here this morning. If you are a guest with us, thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning, and we hope that our service will be a blessing to you. When you came in this morning as a guest, you should have received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out and then drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or just leave it on the information table, that would be so helpful to each and every one of us. So thank you so much. And you also should have received a bulletin, and everybody else should have received a bulletin as well. So if you've got your bulletin, open it up. If not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out, because they are printed for you to be able to know all that's going on here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. So right after our morning service, we have Sunday school, and we have Sunday school for children all the way through adults. And in our adult Sunday school class, we've been talking about salvation and what salvation really means. And so you might want to stay and join us for that. Tuesday evening, men, we have men's Bible study here at the church at 7 p.m. And men, put this on your calendar, and this is open to all of the men that are here even this morning. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible Study at 1 p.m. We're going to continue on in our study of the book of Romans. Thursday night, we have our award ceremony for Awana, and that's always a really special time. And then Friday night, Saturday morning, we have our Trek and Journey lock-in here at the church. This is for our junior high and our senior high teens who've been involved in our Awana ministry, our youth ministry, for the whole year. And they've earned the right to be able to come and to have a great time. And so we're going to be here at the church. We've got a lot of things planned for them. We got some things for them to just be able to do on their own. So it's really going to be just a great day. So I hope you have all got a bulletin. If not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out. Well, are you glad you're here this morning?
Sure.
Well, five of you are. All right. How many of you are glad you're here this morning? Okay. All right. Hopefully after the end of the service, you'll be even more glad that you are here. All right. Ready to lift your voices in praise to the Lord? Because that's why we're here. We're not here for us. We're here for Him. Amen? Let's let Him know that we're here for Him.
That's right. Would you stand on your feet this morning? We're going to sing Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Praise Him in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires there have been granted in what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord who dost prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with His love He befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, oh let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again, gladly for all we adore Him. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my eye. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, my
Come to this place to give you worship, praise, to read in the Word more about you, to commune with you, Lord. We're here for you today, and we praise you because you're worthy of it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning.
You are my supply, my breath of life, still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for, still more awesome than I know. All of you is more than enough for all of me. And every need you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You're my sacrifice of greatest price, still more awesome than I know. You're my coming King, you are everything, still more awesome than I know. And all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You are more than enough. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Yeah, your grace is enough. Heaven reaches out to us. Your grace is enough for me. Covered in your love, your grace is enough for me, for me. For me.
Heavenly Father, it's so good. It's so good to know, to remember, to have hope for our future. You've given us grace now to get from here to there. So, Lord, all the things that we go through, all the difficulties in life that we deal with, you know about it. You care about it. And you've made a way through it. Lord, help us to remember that today. Whatever trial or tribulation we might be in the midst of today, thank you, Lord, for making a way through. Thank you, Lord, for upholding us, your people. We love you. We praise you today. Amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering as we sing Jireh.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I could do to let you down. Doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough, forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I don't want to forget how I feel right now on the mountaintop. Oh, I can see so clear what it's all about. Stay by my side when the sun goes down. Don't want to forget how I feel right now. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I'm already loved, I'm already chosen. I know who I am, I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved, more than I could imagine. More than you ask, think, or imagine. According to his power working in us, it's more than enough. More than you ask, think, or imagine. According to his power working in us, it's more than enough. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. Oh, Jireh, you are enough. Yeah, Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough.
Thank you, worship team. The word Jireh comes from the Old Testament. It's one of the names of God found in the Old Testament. Jehovah Jireh. God who provides. Isn't that good? And that's why he's enough. He provides just exactly what we need. I don't know how many times this week I had to remind people that God is enough. God is enough for them. I've had people tell me that they've been going through difficult circumstances and they've been praying that God would change their circumstances. And they don't understand why God hasn't answered their prayers. I've had people tell me this week that they're praying for healing, for some kind of an illness or some kind of a new ache or pain, and they don't understand why God hasn't answered their prayer. I've had people tell me they're going through a difficult situation with somebody in their family or one of their coworkers, and they've been praying, and nothing seems to change. They don't understand why God's not hearing their prayers. And I had the privilege of reminding them that God probably is answering their prayers. And he's probably giving the answer, my grace is enough. My grace is all you need. And they would look at me and they would go, well, Pastor, how do you know that? And I would say, well, there was this fellow who wrote most of the New Testament. His name was Paul. He had this physical condition. We don't know what it was, but it was troubling him. And he thought it was a hindrance to him doing God's will and God's ministry. Was something that he wanted taken away from him. And so he prayed three times that God would remove it. And every time God gave him the same answer. And it's the same answer I just gave you. God said, my grace is all you need. This morning, I don't know what it is that you're going through. The worship team didn't know what it is that you're going through, but God does. And what a reminder that God used from them to us to be able to remind us that He is all that we need. Every moment of every day, He is all we need. So if you're going through something today, just ask Him. Just ask Him to take care of it in His way, in His time. And maybe He'll just answer you the same way He's answered some of these other folks. My grace is all you need. Isn't that wonderful? Now, you probably came for a little bit more than that this morning, so we're gonna do that. But first, we're going to dismiss our children so they can head off to children's church. So kids, come on down. All right, let's pray. Father, we're just so excited to be able to come to this part of our worship service, to where we're going to learn more about You. We're going to open up Your Word, and we're going to let Your Word, through Your Holy Spirit, speak to us. And Father, I pray that we will hear what it is that You have for us this morning, whether it's in children's church or whether it's here in this sanctuary. Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds and our lives will be open to receive what You have to give to us. And Father, may we not just be hearers of what it is that You want us to hear this morning. Father, as we leave this place, may we be doers. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can go. While they're being dismissed, turn, if you will, with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're going to look at something that John the Baptist said of Jesus in order to prepare us for communion this morning. You know, communion is a reminder that God's grace is enough. God's grace is enough for our salvation. There's nothing else that you or I could do, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a few moments. But there's nothing you and I could do to add one bit to God's providing redemption for every single one of us. Jesus did it all. What He did is sufficient. We're going to see that this morning. So hopefully by now you've found John chapter 1. Now John wrote this gospel. John is the beloved disciple. So John probably wrote this gospel around 70 AD, about 40 years after Jesus was here on earth. And John tells us, starting in the very beginning of John chapter 1, that he is an eyewitness of Jesus' life. He's an eyewitness of Jesus' love and holiness. He's an eyewitness of Jesus' justice and mercy. He's an eyewitness of all of the miracles and healings. He was an eyewitness of the events that took place during the 3-year public ministry of Jesus. John also tells us in chapter 1 that John saw Jesus' glory. But John was able to see even some more things. And we're going to be talking about a conversation that John saw between Jesus and John the Baptist. And it really was a one-sided conversation. It really was more on what it is that John the Baptist had to say about Jesus. So this morning, in order to prepare our hearts and our minds for communion, we're going to look at some important words spoken by John the Baptist, recorded for us by John, the beloved disciple. It's important for us to keep it straight, so hopefully I'll do a good job of keeping you where you need to be. So follow along as I read verses 29 through verse 34 of John chapter 1. John the disciple writes, "The next day he being John the Baptist, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.'" Now, wait a minute. Let's stop there for a moment. This is John the Baptist. John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus. You understand they're related, right? And so they're cousins. And John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus. So how in the world could John the Baptist say, "He was before me"? It's because he understands that Jesus is eternal. He's talking about the eternality of Jesus, because Jesus is part of what? The Trinity. He's as equal with the Father as the Father is himself. He says, I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. So this morning, I want us to concentrate our thoughts on the words of John the Baptist. What were some of the beginning words? Look back at verse 29. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. So John is saying to those that were within earshot of his voice, and he's saying to us today, because it's been recorded and it's been preserved for us for countless generations, he says to us, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, John the Baptist is watching Jesus walk toward him, and he says to his own disciples, because John the Baptist had his own disciples before Jesus arrived to do his public ministry, and he says, look or behold. Now, this word in the Greek is very interesting. It's in the imperative, which tells us it's a very important word. John the Baptist here does not say, look at me, I'm a great prophet. He doesn't say, look at me, I'm a great witness. Look at me, I was here before this guy. Look at me, I had disciples before he did. He doesn't say, look to your good works. He doesn't say, look at your religious traditions or your religious heritage or your religious creeds or your family heritage. He doesn't even say, look to the law. John the Baptist says, look at who? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, there are those, even in Christian circles, who want us to look to the law to be able to what? Find our salvation. They want us to look at our family heritage to what? Find our salvation. There, I don't know how many people in all of my years of ministry have said to me, well, I know that I'm a believer. I know that I'm a Christian because my grandpa was a preacher. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. We all have to come to salvation in Jesus by believing in him as Savior on our own. I can't do it for you. Your grandfather can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. It's not about family heritage. It's not about church tradition. I've had people say to me, well, I know that I'm a believer because I do this within the church. I do that within the church. I believe this that the church has taught me for all of these years, and I do it religiously. It's not about religion. It's not about tradition. It's not about creeds. Just about 2 weeks ago, I had a discussion with somebody who wanted to know how come the Lord's Prayer is so important for people to know in order to be saved. And I said, not about the Lord's Prayer. I said, people are saved because they believe in Jesus as Savior. There's no other way. None. And they went, oh, really? So I took them to the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. And I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him. Did Jesus say whoever believes and says the Lord's Prayer? Nope. So it's not in the Lord's Prayer. And then I went on to explain to this person, because I love getting on my soapbox every now and then. I know you don't know that about me, but that's the way that I am. So I got on my soapbox and I said, by the way, you know, it's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. Because the disciples came to Jesus when they saw that he was a person of prayer, and they said, when you pray, we see certain things. So will you teach us how to pray? So Jesus said, when you pray, here's the formula. When you pray, here's the model. When you pray, here's the pattern. So he gave that to the disciples. But of course, we all know it as what the Lord's Prayer, which is okay. That's just fine. But I like to point that out when I have opportunity to be able to do that. It's not about church traditions. It's not about creeds. It's not about things that we can say over and over again. John the Baptist doesn't say, look to those things. He says, look to who? The Lamb of God. You know, there are people today who are looking for salvation that comes from God in all the wrong places, in all the wrong things. And the Bible makes it very clear, especially throughout the book of John, that all we need to do to have God's salvation is to believe in Jesus as Savior. And John the Baptist here is not just saying, look, in the sense of just seeing something casually with the eye. He is saying, behold. He's saying, behold, grasp the truth. Grasp the significance of this moment for yourself. Someone is coming towards you. Do you realize who this someone is and what he has come into the world to do? John the Baptist says, don't let this opportunity pass you by. Let it sink in. But it's a fact that it's so easy for people to miss the most important thing in life because they are so distracted, and they put their focus in the wrong direction and focus on the wrong things. I'm so thankful we sang that great old hymn of the faith this morning, Be Thou My Vision. Where's our vision as believers supposed to be? On Jesus. When we want to believe in Jesus as Savior, where should our vision be? On the fact that he went to the cross for us, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist says, look, he is the Lamb of God. Also, by saying those words, he's saying something else. He's saying, understand his sacrifice. John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God who what? Does something. Takes away the sin of the world. Not just heals. Not just teaches. Not just has 12 guys following him everywhere that he goes. But he comes to do something. What did he come to do? Take away the sin of the world. Now, when John the Baptist talks about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he is referencing some Old Testament truths. Because the Lamb in the Old Testament was associated with the sacrifice and the suffering for sin. Now, I'm sure that you're aware that none of the sacrificial animals which were to be offered for sin were allowed to have any blemishes or defects. You all know that, right? These animals would be the ones that would bring top dollar at the auction or the market. Now, what is the reason for this? The reason for this is to remind the sinner that sin has a cost. Sin costs something. John the Baptist could have also been referring to the lambs that were offered as morning and evening sacrifices at the temple. John the Baptist could have been referring to the Passover lamb that was sacrificed on the last day before Israel was delivered out of Egypt. Remember in our study of the book of Exodus? Remember when we talked about that last plague and what it meant not only to the Israelites, but what it means even to us today? You see, when the angel of death went through the land of Egypt and brought death on all the firstborn sons and cattle and livestock, only those who had the blood of the Passover lamb sprinkled on the doorpost and the lintel over the door were spared. The blood of the Passover lamb protected the nation of Israel from God's judgment. By killing the lamb, the Israelites were shedding innocent blood. The lamb was the innocent sacrifice. The lamb was a substitute for the person who would have died in the plague. The lamb had to be killed in order to get the blood that would protect them. And from that moment on, the Israelites clearly understood that for them to be spared from death, an innocent life had to be sacrificed in their place. When we studied the book of Exodus, and we studied this in the book of Exodus, remember I brought out the fact that the Israelites, at the time that they were in Egypt, had a land within the country of Egypt that was set aside just for them. It was called the land of Goshen. But even in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites lived, the Israelites still had to place the blood on the doorposts and over the lintel of their houses. Otherwise, death would have come even to their house. Just because they were Israelites, just because they were a chosen nation by God, doesn't mean they would have been spared of the consequence of death, because the blood of an innocent lamb hadn't been spilled on their behalf. A lamb hadn't been sacrificed on their behalf. And with that first Passover sacrifice, God was preparing the hearts of people for Jesus, the ultimate Passover lamb. And as we talked about last week in our study of the book of Acts, God is still today in 2023 preparing the hearts of people to believe in the Lamb of God, Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world. That hasn't changed. And how that's the mission that God left for his that Jesus left for his disciples. That's the mission that Jesus has for every single one of us today, for us to be able to share the message with others that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. We can tell them he died for my sins and I believe in him as Savior. He died for your sins and do you believe in him as Savior? We can do that. Every single one of us are capable of being able to do that. God is still preparing the hearts of people, even yet today, for Jesus, the ultimate Passover lamb. They need to believe in him as Savior. John the Baptist's declaration was that Jesus is the Lamb of God who doesn't just take away the sin from a select few, from just those who were born of a special heritage, or those who go to a church that has a specific name on its door. No, John the Baptist wasn't saying that. Or just the nation of Israel. But he was saying that Jesus takes away the sin of the world. What this means is that for every sin, for every failure and shortcoming, for every temptation and in every situation, we can look to the Lamb and his perfect sacrifice for the payment of sin. If you're here this morning and you came not believing in Jesus as Savior, look to the Lamb of God. Look to him for the salvation that God wants you to be able to have. Believe in Jesus as Savior. Believe that he died on that cross for you. That his body was broken, that his blood was shed for you and for your sin. Look to the Lamb of God, because all that the ancient sacrifices, all that those did was foreshadow the perfectly fulfilled sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. John the Baptist was saying, look, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was not only perfect, without a single defect or fault. This perfect sacrifice was provided by God himself. Our sin was very costly, and it cost God his Son. I think John the Baptist is also saying something else. He's saying, grasp his mercy and his grace. The nation of Israel was looking for a victorious Messiah and king, a lion that would conquer and rule the world. But that wasn't what Jesus came to be. That wasn't what Jesus came to do. He came to be the Savior. He came to do what God wanted him to do. That was to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, to go to the cross, to be the Savior of mankind. Someday, Jesus is going to come as the conquering Lion of Judah. It's yet to happen. But Jesus was as bold as a lion when he faced opposition from the religious Jewish leaders and when he went to the cross. But he came the first time as a lamb. The Israelites were looking for a lion to deal with their enemies, But God sent them what they needed most. God sent you and I what we needed most. A lamb to take away the sin of the world. And has that lamb, Jesus went through so much on our behalf. It started with a sleepless night with no food. Then Jesus endured the mockery of two trials. He was slapped, mocked, spat upon, and ridiculed with a robe, a scepter, and a crown of thorns. He had his back lacerated with the cruel Roman whip, which caused excessive tearing of the flesh, bleeding, cramps, and dizziness. Do you realize that many prisoners did not even live through this kind of torture? When Jesus arrived at Golgotha's hill, he suffered the shame of the cross, a weapon of punishment reserved only for the worst of criminals. Jesus was publicly and humiliated shame. He was stripped naked. He suffered the long horror of an anticipated death after they drove the nails into his hands and into his feet to keep him on that cross. The mortification of his untended wounds, the unnatural position of his body on the cross, the lacerated veins and arteries, the crushed tendons throbbing with incessant anguish and torment, the arteries around the head and stomach become swollen and oppressed with the surge of blood, and with all of that, add a burning and raging thirst. And then he cried, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit and died. And he did that for you. He did that for me. He did that for the world because he was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. But he's still not on that cross. Three days later, after being placed in a borrowed tomb, he what? Came out of that tomb. He came out of that tomb alive. And it's not a dead spiritual leader that we've come this morning to be able to praise. It's not a dead spiritual leader that we've come this morning to be able to learn about. It's a living Savior. It's a living Lamb. It's a living one who took your sin, who took my sin on that cross where his body was broken and his blood was shed. He did that for you. He did that for me. And as the Lamb of God, as he cried, "It is finished," and then 3 days later, as he walked out of that borrowed tomb, he defeated Satan and he conquered death and its consequences for our sake. Now, you might be sitting here this morning and going, "Well, Pastor, when I came this morning, I wasn't anticipating you talking about sin, because sin isn't a very easy topic to discuss in our day. Because like death, it's an unpleasant subject. We don't like to think of ourselves as sinners. We don't like to think of ourselves as bad or evil people. But unfortunately, God's word tells us over and over again that that's what we are by nature. We are sinners. Now, we can blame a whole host of things. We can blame society. We can blame a toxic environment. We can blame global warming, like everything else is blamed on it, or a dysfunctional family background. We can blame all of that for the reasons we are the way that we are, but it doesn't change the fact that God's word tells us that we are sinful by nature. Read the first few chapters of the book of Romans, and you'll find out just how sinful we are. Sin is a universal rejection of God in his righteous, perfect, holy, moral, and spiritual law. Sin is both an act and a state of being. It is an inner force, an inherent condition, a controlling power. The very first man and woman created by God chose to rebel against his mandate when they were placed in the Garden of Eden. And remember, God said, "Listen, all of this is for you to enjoy. It is very beautiful. I've created this for you to be able to enjoy. Except one tree that I've placed in the middle of the Garden of Eden. You can't miss it. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of the fruit of that. Stay away from that fruit. Don't taste it. Don't bite into it. Just leave it be." But what did they do? They rebelled. They disobeyed God. And the moment that they took the bite of that fruit, they became sinners. And as a result of that, you and I, that sin has been passed down to from generation to generation to generation. Since we're all Adam and Eve's descendants, we inherited their sin nature, and therefore we sin. And the moment we are born, we were under judgment, and we were destined for eternal torment and separation from God. And there was no way for us to change our condition or our eternal destiny. There's no way we can make ourselves clean and stand before God and justify ourselves. There is no way that we could pay the penalty that justice demands so that we can have peace with God. But God made the way possible through the perfect Lamb of God who came to take away your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. When John the Baptist talked about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he wasn't just talking about a few people or even a nation. Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the entire world. And this phrase, takes away, is in the Greek, in the present tense here, signifying the ongoing sufficiency of Jesus' sacrifice and the fact that it is always available for every person. For every person who believes in Jesus as Savior, their sin has been paid for and taken away. Jesus, God's Lamb, takes away the condemnation of sin that we deserved. And all we have to do is believe in him as Savior. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How do we get to be in Christ Jesus? By believing in him as Savior. It's as simple as that. Now, there will always be challenges in life, and there will always be challenges in our growing to spiritual maturity. We're going to be tempted, and at times we're going to give in and sin. And when this happens, what do we do? Well, we can look to ourselves and we can condemn ourselves, even though as believers, Jesus has already took that condemnation. You can beat yourself over the head. You can hide from other believers. You can make promises that you'll never do that again. Or you can look to the Lamb and know that he loves you. He loved you enough to die on the cross for you. So this morning, as we move to participate together in this part of worship of communion, I want you to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now let me remind you that if you are a guest with us this morning, you do not have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church to join together with us in communion. You just have to believe in Jesus as Savior. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Let's remember Jesus.
Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Let's remember Jesus.
For our last song, would you all stand with me?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I am needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy mercy and love. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessing thousand beside. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, yes, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All
thy faithfulness,
great is thy faith.
One more time, come on.
Oh, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.